Two different people came up to me this morning and said, hey, Mike, you're kind of giving off a sort of a Apple CEO vibe, you know, like a Steve Jobs kind of a feel to you, you know. And I feel like saying something like, imagine the world at your fingertips. Now it can be. I give you the Apple phone 12 or iPhone 12, something like that. You know, but actually, this is a 7. So actually what it is, though, is it's the glasses. It's the glasses, right? Yeah, pretty cool. I want to say thanks to Becky Kabatbat. She's actually, you know, one of our teachers at the Children's Ark, but she's an optometrist by day. And so she was adjusted, so for 2020, right? So I get my 2020 vision back. what was interesting was I said to her, she goes, what kind of frame would you like? I go, I'm not a frame guy. You pick, you pick. So she picked these. And these apparently are like trending, you know, I don't know, you know. So I think they're called Kyo Yamatos or something like that, you know. So, you know, remember when Ray-Ban was the thing or, you know, Maui Suns? No, it's like Kyo Yamato. You know? And they're progressive, which means that I can see far, I can see my laptop, and I can see my phone down here. Does that make sense? Right? So you can see like everything. 2020. Happy New Year. And so if you see me, because so down here is like when you see up close, and right here is like you see kind of middle, and up here is like when you see far. So I have to kind of like find that sweet spot, you know, I have to kind of do this, right? So if I'm talking to you, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to like, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to get focused. I'm not agreeing with what you're saying. I'm just getting focused. You know, that's all I'm doing there, right? Okay, so short message this morning, okay? Let's see if we could do that. Because of the ministry affair coming up, which I'll tell you about. Let me recap for us where we are in this 2020 vision series that we're in as we studied the book of Nehemiah. So remember in week one, we defined vision for you. And vision is a mental image. It's a vivid mental image in your mind, not only what could be, but it's fueled by the conviction that it should be. So this is not one of those kind of, you heard people go, let's set a big, hairy, audacious goal for ourselves, you know? Because they say, you know, shoot for the stars and you might hit the moon, that type of thing. That's not what this is. That's not this. This is a vision that comes from the Lord. And week two, it typically comes from a holy discontent. So in other words, you see something or you hear about something that's going on, and it's like, that's not good. That's not good. That's got to change. That's not, as we would say here in our church, that's not kingdom. That's not kingdom. And so now the kingdom of God has to come into that situation. And it's not one of those kind of things that say, well, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Not a big deal. You know, we tried our best. No, it's got to change. It's got to change. So they're typically human lives in the balance, right? Like our church, for example. There's souls in the balance. So today, we learn about how such a vision comes to pass. Because after God tells you what he wants you to do, he then shows you how he wants you to do it. Because that's the only way it's going to happen. Because this is a God thing. What he's asking you to do is a God thing. It's not a good thing. What's the difference? Well, a good thing is something that you do in the name of God, but you actually could have just done that in your own strength. And, you know, it's a good thing. Christians do this all the time. But, you know, it's not necessary. It doesn't require God's help necessarily. It just requires you to just, you know, do your good thing, right? Do your good thing. But a God thing is totally different. A God thing will not happen unless God puts it together, unless God makes it happen. And so when you're asked to do something ridiculous, like, for example, he tells Noah, I want you to build me an ark. Oh, that's no problem. I can build a little boat. That's not, no. No, you don't understand. Pretty much every species of land animal has to fit in that ark. What? Yes. It needs to be yay big. It needs to be this high. And God's like, giving him this great download of what needs to happen. And Noah is like, well, God's got to make that happen. And so he goes to it. He goes to it and he does it. Or God goes to Moses and says, I want you to set my people free from, basically the king of the most powerful, country, the superpower, the military superpower of that region. You have to tell him to give up his economy, let the slaves go, the Hebrew people, and that's what I'm asking you to do. Oh, is that it? Is that all you want, God? It's like not possible unless God were to intervene. So for us today, in the New Testament, it's something like evangelize the entire world or reach your community for Jesus, right? Or how about this? Just reach your family. How many of us know that when a person comes to Jesus, that wasn't us? That was something that God was orchestrating in this person's life, and then this person responded to God. You can't change a person, right? When a person gets set free from drugs or some addiction, that's God, right? Or when your child, like this past week, it was really cool. We were at a staff retreat, the best staff retreat we ever had, by the way. Got some crazy, crazy direction from the Lord and what the Lord has in store for us for 2020. But there's a family in our church, the Yoshiokas, Keith and Wendy. They have a son and a daughter, but the son, his name is David, just got it in him somehow that he had to be baptized. He said, Mom, Dad, I need to be baptized. I want to proclaim and profess that I know Jesus. And he couldn't wait till April, because we had baptism in April. But he said, I need to get baptized right now. We need to get baptized. I need to do this. I need to set something up. So we were at the staff retreat, and they call, and they talk to Mark, and they say, hey, we know you guys are at staff retreat, and you guys are at the beach. Can we ask you a big favor? Our son really, really wants to just take a stand for Jesus. He wants to be baptized. And, he just can't wait. Would you mind indulging? Absolutely. Absolutely. We were on a little break. So he went down to the beach and we baptized David. He was telling all his friends about this. I mean, it was pretty, pretty crazy. Now, where does that come from in a young 8-year-old's mind? That's God. Amen? That's God. God just showed up. Right? Because we know what kids are typically like. Right? They're just kids. But this one just said, I got to get baptized. I want to take a stand for Jesus. God thing. And so this is the kind of thing where, you can't do it in your strength. And that is the conviction of our church as well. Right? Our church is exactly that. It's a God thing. We started off, Dave up here on the worship team, he and his wife Susan, and Eugene. So there's a few of us, Will. There's a few of us who were here at the very, very beginning. And you know how this church started? We were less than 50 people at a Wednesday night midweek service meeting at Mililani Waena Church, Mililani Waena Elementary School, which we turned into a church. And that's how the church started. Less than 50 people. And we can't change minds. We can't change hearts. God is the one that brought you here. Amen? Look at this service. This service alone is bigger than that midweek service. But we had a service at 8 o'clock. We had a service at Saturday night, last night. And Waiwa is having a service. And Haleiwa is having a service. All of them bigger than that midweek. That's God. Amen? Only God could do that. And so that's what we're contending for. We're contending for the impossible to happen in our church and in your lives. All impossible in the power of the flesh. Now, in our story, Nehemiah, he's asked to do the impossible. He's asked, as we know from chapter 1 last week, to go to Jerusalem. God is saying, go to Jerusalem. My people are in like a sad, sad shape. They're open to attack because the walls are not built. And so they're being ravaged. You know, it's just crime all over the place. You know, it's just that we need the walls built. We need to build the walls around Jerusalem. Nehemiah, you're going to be the one that does that. But he's like, how is this going to happen? There's no way this is going to happen. I have no authority to do this. I have no resources to do this. I don't have the manpower to do this. This is a God-sized vision. Now, does it have to be done? It has to be done. Or the people will just continue to languish and be killed off. But I don't know how I'm going to do this. Well, so Nehemiah does a smart thing. He asks God. He says, God, you showed me what to do. Now you need to show me how to do it. And this is kind of the point, actually, because God just wants to do something with us. He wants to work with us. In other words, he's not going to give you something to do and say, good luck. You know, hope it works out. No. He gives you the vision, and then he shows you how to fulfill the vision. That's super important. Okay? And today, we're going to discover how God wants this done. And it has to do with unity. It has to do with everyone working in concert together. And that is a God thing. Amen? So the vision is a God thing. How he's going to do it is a God thing. And then how the people work together as one is also a God thing. We're all about God things here. That's why I wrote the book, by the way. So we're all about God things. So after we discover what God wants us to do, the next thing is to ask him how he intends to do it. So write in your notes there. Number one, what God originates, God orchestrates. Write that down. What God originates, God orchestrates. And I want to give credit to where credit is due. I'm reading Visioneering by Andy Stanley. If you want to read this book as well, along with us, all the staff are reading it. And Andy Stanley says exactly this. So in our story, Nehemiah, okay, here's how chapter 2 unfolds, right? So no authority, no resources, no manpower. He's got nothing, right? But he's told by God he's got to build this wall. So I get the feeling, because you know he's in the Persian court, right? So he's in the court. He comes before the king all the time. He's the cupbearer, as you know. So what's a cupbearer? Well, a cupbearer is that guy where the king is about to take a little wine, supposed to drink some wine. Well, the cupbearer's job, and I don't know if he does this himself personally, but the cupbearer's job is to pour some wine out, you know, from what the king is going to drink from and drink it first. He drinks it first because this could be an assassination attempt. Every time the king takes a drink, it could be his last. So we make the cupbearer take the first swig. And then you wait. And the king goes, how you feeling there, Nehemiah? You feel all right? Yeah. Little woozy, little dizzy. No? Okay, pour me a cup. That's his job, right? He's kind of like the Secret Service. So if somebody wants to assassinate the president, Secret Service is going to jump in front of in front of that bullet and take the bullet himself and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Secret Service is basically what he's like. He's just a very, very trusted servant, right? Well, you also get the feeling from Nehemiah chapter 2 that Nehemiah is kind of more of a cheerful disposition. So, you know, I think the king kind of liked him because he was kind of a happy guy all the time. So he's in the court happily serving, you know. He's ready to take that wine and go, here I go, king, let's see what happens. You know, and he was glad to do it, though. But this day, not so much. The weight of the vision that God had given him was so heavy on Nehemiah. He comes into the king's presence, and he's actually not cheerful. He's not happy. He's gloomy. He's kind of down, and he's doing his job. But the king like looks at him and says, something's up. What's wrong? And Nehemiah goes, well, how can I be happy when my people back in Jerusalem are languishing? They're in distress, king. I don't know what to do. I mean, it's, you know, their walls are burnt, they're torn down, they're open for attack. I mean, it's horrible. It's horrible. And then here's the God moment. The king asks Nehemiah, "What can I do to help you?" Oh my gosh! There's your open door right there, right? There's your open door. He can't really ask that of the king. It's not his place, but the king asked him. So it's like, well, since you asked, one of those kind of moments, right? So this is pretty cool because, and I believe because Nehemiah had been fasting and praying and assessing the situation, he knew exactly what this would entail. And you can tell from his answer. Because the first thing he says to the king is, well, king, you know, I'm going to have to take a leave of absence. And the king immediately asks him, like, okay, well, how long will you be gone? He gives him the exact date, right? This tells you he's got this in his mind. The Lord has shown him exactly what to do, right? Exactly what needs to happen. Because he doesn't go like, I'm not really sure. I don't know when I'll be back. No. He knows exactly what needs to happen. He knows how long it'll take. He tells the king when he's going to be back. In the same request, he says, by the way, I'm going to need to also go to Jerusalem. And then would you appoint me sort of temporary mayor? Would that be okay? You know? And the king says, done. Anything else? He goes, yeah, actually, I'm going to need like visas because I have to travel from here, like in Persia. I've got to travel 1,000 miles over to Jerusalem, and I'm going to pass through a whole bunch of these territories. They all belong to the king, but I need letters for every one of the governors whose territory I have to pass through, so that way they don't think like, you know, I'm an enemy or something. King says, done. I'll get your passports for you. All your visas. Anything else? And he goes, hey, he's on a roll now. So, yeah, actually, there's one more thing. Would you write a letter to Asaph? Asaph is the forest ranger of the king. And, because I need to chop down a whole bunch of trees from the king's forest. I need a lot of lumber. I need some resources. I need you to give me a letter that says I can have all the trees I need in order to build, you know, the walls in Jerusalem. King goes, done. He's like, what? Oh my gosh. Okay, thank you. Hallelujah. And so off he goes, right? Now, what God originated, he is now orchestrating. Can you see? This was God working now in this king. We don't even know if this king believes in God. But hey, you know, he's part of God's universe. And so he's going to do what God tells him to do. Nehemiah had been fasting and praying. And this is where the breakthrough comes. His opportunity came. He didn't hedge. He didn't go like, abadi, abadi, abadu, abadu, I don't know, you know. No, he knew exactly. He got the download from the Lord. And so when the moment came, boom. He was able to tell the king exactly what he needed, and the king said, yes. So let's read this passage together, Nehemiah 2, chapter 8, right? Key verse, let's read it, ready, go. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests. Huge. This is a huge God thing, right? So what are we saying? We're saying that a God vision is going to be over your head. But if it originates with God, then God is going to orchestrate its success. Amen? And that's the thing about God things. They cannot be stopped. They cannot be stopped. A God thing is going to happen by the power of God. And nothing in the universe can stop God. Can you see why our church wants to do God things? Do you see why you and your family should just contend for God things? Before you do anything, you just like, you gotta pray, you gotta fast, you gotta say. That's why we're, what's today, the 19th? We're on day 19 of the 40-day fast and pray. We're almost halfway through. Pretty cool, right? Yeah, this is our opportunity to get the download. What's the God vision what is it that God wants you to do in your personal life and also together as a church? And then how does he want to do it? How does he intend to make this successful? What God originates, he will orchestrate. Never forget that. Number two, write your notes. I love this one. When God orchestrates, he calls the orchestra. So he's going to put together all the stuff he needs to do his thing. That makes sense? Right? It's not going to be you. It's going to be him that brings together all the necessary parties. So, can you imagine the scene, right? So picture this scene. Here comes Nehemiah riding into Jerusalem. And by the way, in addition to all the things that I told you he got, right? He also got an armed escort. So the king's banner and the king's escort, his horsemen, are also with Nehemiah. This is pretty impressive. This is a very impressive thing. So he's coming into town. Everybody notices, right? And they're all going like, why is the king here? Or at least his emissary. What's going on? And at first, Nehemiah actually doesn't say anything. He just comes into town, you know, and he's got like a whole bunch of lumber with him and all this construction material, you know, and all this kind of stuff, you know. And he comes to town and doesn't say anything to anybody. And late at night, he just kind of takes a walk and he assesses the damage, takes a look at what needs to be done. And then, at the right moment, he tells the people exactly why he's there. He says, I'm an emissary of King Artaxerxes. Whoa, you come from, yes, it's me. And by the way, I'm your new mayor. and so there's a new sheriff in town now, and here's what's going to happen. And so can you imagine, he's got to pitch this vision to them, right? He's got to say, hey, you know, here's something that we can do together. Now, could he force them? I don't know, but it's a whole lot better if people just kind of buy into it and just say, hey, you know, let's do this. I think this is cool. So he tells them exactly what the king has done for them. I asked the king for permission to come, to leave his presence and to come here, make me mayor. I asked the king for letters and passports and visas all the way over here. And then I asked the king for lumber, and he gave me, you know, the cedars of Lebanon, right? He opened up his own personal forest, and he let me chop down his trees. As he went down this entire list, and the people went, okay, we're in. That's amazing. Oh, man, that's God, right? Because these are Jews. This is Jerusalem. God is with us. And, like, the people got really pumped up. And they said, let's build it. Let's take a look at this passage in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. Here's exactly what the Bible says. Ready? Go. Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. And they replied at once, yes, let's rebuild the wall. So they began the good work. Isn't that cool? Now, Nehemiah is strategic as well. Not only did he tell them all the great things that God had done, which was, you know, like amazing in and of itself, he gave them a double motivation. Because do you know what section of wall each family had to build? They built the section of wall right by their house. So if this is your house, you're building this section of wall right here. So that means you're going to make sure your part of the wall is like super strong because you don't want anybody coming through this wall, right? So basically, you're building your own wall for your own part of the city. That's double motivation for you. So Nehemiah is very motivational. And the reason is because of God. God opened these doors. He opened not just one, but another door. Door after door after door, he's opened. And now he's telling you, now you go build the section of wall right in front of your house. Okay, now with that kind of motivation, how quickly do you think these guys built the wall? You've been reading the devotions and so forth? Do you know how fast they built this wall? 52 days. 52 days they had the wall built. We should put Nehemiah in charge of the rail. Right? Yeah, sorry, Ron, that was city council. No, it's true, right? It's true, yeah. These guys were highly motivated. They had that wall up 52 days. That's crazy. That is crazy. So from that story, I want to fast forward to us today. Because our church was given an equally impossible vision about 15 years ago, right? This church that started off with like less than 50 people is asked to build the church in Mililani, and eventually, as we've come to know now today, to build a $6 million facility right down the road over here. Impossible. Mike Palumbo cannot do that. Our pastors cannot do this. The board cannot do this. But nothing's impossible with God. Amen? So let me share with you, I'm just kind of go down this list of the open doors that the King has granted us, right? First of all, as you know, back in 2015, we got free property, right? Free property in Mililani Malka. Have you ever heard of such a thing? I have not. You know, maybe you have. I've never heard of it. I've never heard of such a thing. And I remember that day when, you know, Dean, you know, Brother Dean Hazama, he goes, "Hey, Mike, I had an idea. I know we're like, you know, trying to build a building. I got a great idea." By the way, I have to tell you that around that season, we were coming to this place, and we've always known that our days of setting up in a cafeteria had to be limited, right? You just can't do this forever, setting up, taking down every single weekend, for what it's hard. But secondly, though, it's like you just never know what's going to happen, like in the, in the society and the culture. And around that time, there was an atheist, and he was coming after all churches that were meeting in cafeterias. Why? Because he's an atheist. And he didn't like Christians meeting in cafeterias, which he deemed as like his, or like, you know, the public's. And it's like, so he's totally against it. But anyway, so we thought, you know, I don't think our days are numbered, like meeting in cafeterias. So anyways, we began to, like, in earnest, like, pray, fasting, and say, "Okay, God, you have to open this door, because, you know, we can't afford anything." So so Dean, he says, "Hey, let's go visit, Castle and Cook." And so we go into this guy's office. You know, his name is Bruce. He's one of the executives of Castle and Cook. And Dean goes, "Hey, those, like, water quality basins, you know, Castle and Cook ever going to build anything on those?" And he goes, "Yeah, you know, we thought about it, but we decided against it. You know, I don't think it's going to work." And Dean says, "Hey, would you mind if the church tried?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, sure, go ahead. We just got free property." I said, "Dean, come on, let's go before he changes his mind. Hurry." We got free property right there in that moment. Right there in that moment. And so the next thing is we began to survey the land. So we were like, actually, we did that beforehand. But we took a look at this. And so open door, now we have the property. But the next thing was like, this is a complex piece of property. As you know, the city has these like filtration, you know, properties where, you know, rainwater has to be filtered or cleansed, or, you know, the water quality has to be such before it goes out to sea, because we don't want to pollute the ocean. So they built these all over the place. And so this property still has to function for that purpose. And in fact, according to regulations, it has to like function even better than it did before. So now we're putting a new filtration system in there. It has to be superior than the one that's already in there. It's like, okay, but God can do this. God can do this. We need an architect to do this. And so, I kid you not, this is exactly what happened. I was walking around City Mill over here in Mililani by the shovels, right? And as I was walking by that, I started thinking about the property again. And I was praying again. I said, "Okay, God, how do you want this done? Because we can't just have anybody do this." The Lord reminded me that one of my good friends is Francis Oda, who is the founder of Group 70. This is one of the top architectural firms in the state of Hawaii. This is the architectural firm that actually created the School of Architecture at the University of Hawaii. That's how good these guys are. And Francis Oda is my friend from years ago when I was in Youth for Christ. He was a board of director and I was on staff. So I called my friend Francis Oda and I said, "Hey, Francis, would you mind meeting with me? I have a project." And he goes, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And we get together, and I tell him the situation, and he goes, we can absolutely do this for you. Absolutely. In fact, he appointed, he's no longer the president. He's kind of like emeritus, you know, one of those kind of guys, and he travels all over the place. But he appointed the current president of Group 70, Charles Kaneshiro, to be the head of our project. And he assembles a team to help us, like, solve this problem. And he, and Charles himself is taking no money from this project. He's doing his part pro bono. Not Group 70, but his part is pro bono. Amazing, right? This is God. So they've got to solve this problem. First few solutions they came up with were extremely expensive, cost prohibitive. It required us to put these like filtration, kind of like Brita filters all over the place. You know, so the water goes in, filters through these carbon filters, and then out, then those would be good. But we said, those are too expensive. You got anything else? And then like some time goes by, and their civil engineer says, hey, I've got a system, an idea, that is like less than half the cost of those like expensive man-made systems. It's a biofiltration system. I said, what's that? What's a biofiltration system? He goes, it's a garden. You plant plants. You put plants, native Hawaiian plants, and grass, a grassy swale. And when the water flows through, so it can't collect, obviously, like it's not gonna do that. We're gonna fill that hole, and the water is going to flow through it, and when the water flows through it, that, like, natural system is superior to anything that man has ever made. Isn't that great? God's own plants are better than anything we've ever done. And it's cheaper too. Isn't that awesome? Another open door, another problem solved. Now, this is kind of like a new thing. It's rarely done anywhere, and it's not been done on the island of Oahu. There's one on Kauai, but nothing done here. So the next step was to try and get this approved by DPP, Department of Planning and Permitting, city. They have to approve this plan. They've not seen it before. Now, whenever they have not seen something before, they typically go very conservative and they do not approve it. Because we don't know what that is. We don't want to approve that. We'll be in big trouble if we do it. That kind of thing, right? So, but Group 70 proposed this to the city. And guess what? They approved it. We got a conditional use permit. We got a CUP to proceed with the project. It passed everyone's opposition. There's all kinds of people opposed to it. But we passed through that too. I mean, God just continues to break wall after wall after wall. He just opens door after door after door, right? The next thing was the money. And all of us together came through to put together like a down payment. You still are giving. Are we there yet? No, so just keep going because we do want to get furniture, right, and all that. And then First Hawaiian Bank came through, and so we're working on that loan. We're finalizing it right now. We had a big meeting yesterday, super great meeting. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but it's still, the door is still open. How many of us know that even us being in this cafeteria is also a God thing? Because we had asked earlier, and they said, you guys were there before. No, we don't want to do that again. All kinds of hesitation. And then, so we let that go. And then we prayed. And then we asked again. And then they said yes. And so here we are. Can you see how God is just opening door after door after door after door after door after door? Because this building that we're building, I believe he wants it done. Amen. And nothing is going to stop it. So, are we there yet? No, but God's supernatural hand of grace is upon it. And whenever God orchestrates something, he brings together the orchestra. Look at all the pieces that had to come together. That could not have been done by any human being. That was God. So what do we do? Here's the last point. The last point, our response is, number three, unite our gifts as one. Unite our gifts as one. I have a gift, you have a gift, everybody has gifts. Let's combine our talents together, all these spiritual gifts, bring them all together, unite, and let's do this together. Amen? This is what Nehemiah did. That's why they got the wall done in 52 days. Once we begin, and we're waiting on the final permits from the city to begin construction, once we do begin, should be up in like in about a year, you know, barring weather and that kind of thing. That's awesome. You know why? So, because some church projects back in ancient days, they would take 200 years to build some of those ancient cathedrals back in the day. Can you imagine starting a building project which your children and your children's children and your children's and children's children will eventually complete, but you start it like this and then 200 years later it's completed? Well, we're starting a project, won't take 52 days, but it'll take 52 weeks. Okay, how about that? So that's gonna be awesome as soon as we get the permits to do that. So let's read this passage in Ephesians 4, and here's your assignment. Every time you see the word one, circle it. Okay, when you see the word one, take your pen and circle it. Ready? Go. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You get the idea that God wants us to be one? Yeah, I get that idea. Yeah. So how many times do you see the word one just in that sentence? How many times? Seven times. Now, Paul is a good Jew. He knows that the number seven means completeness. It means perfection. Complete, perfect oneness. So I put the word one in there seven times. So, like Nehemiah, there's no way that he could do a God thing alone. There's no way we could do a God thing alone. So it needs all of us working together. Amen? So it says here in 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can all help each other, right? And that leads us to our ministry fair today. So I want you to take a look at this last photo. Everything we do as a church leads to souls. It leads to souls being one for Jesus. Souls transformed for Jesus. Souls set free, a person being set free. So when you sign up for one of our ministries, you're not just signing up to like, oh, I guess I'll help out. No, far more significant than you could possibly imagine. So, you know, all our entire media team is back there. We actually preach together. And we're broadcasting to the entire world. I want to say hi to everybody watching on YouTube, you know. And all our ministries out there, they touch souls. So we're going to dismiss in just a second. But I want you to walk out here and just take a look at all the different ministries, including Children's Ark, including the youth. There's a cool kind of paramilitary group out there, you know, called Airsoft. We're actually training the next generation of warriors. The women have snickerdoodles. I mean, it's just amazing out there. It's like really cool. All the different ministries that are happening all tie back to a soul. Amen. Before I have you stand for prayer, would anyone like a copy of this? This is a listing of every ministry in the church. So just raise your hand if you would like a listing of any. Lisa will give you one over here. Over here too, Lisa, on the right behind you there. And then, yep, go ahead. Hester wants one over here. All right, just keep your hand up until Lisa comes to you. Lisa's gonna run over here to this side. All right, yeah, go ahead and just keep your hand up. And so take a look at this and let the Holy Spirit lead you. I believe God is gonna speak to you, that there's a way you can help out. So as you can see, you know, we're setting up and taking down, for example. Man, the Levites could use your help. That doesn't require any training. It just requires a willing heart, amen? You know, I typically put gloves on so that my hands don't, like, my old hands don't, like, you know, get hurt with the tables or anything like that. Not that they would, but just easier. So appreciate your help with that. But, yeah, ask the Lord to lead you. How can I use what I have for your glory, God? Let's all stand for closing prayer. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. The Lord wants to remind you this morning that what He originates in your heart and in the heart of this church, He will orchestrate. You do not have to worry, because He is going to fight for you. He will do battle for you. He will open doors that only He can open. As He did with Nehemiah, He is doing with us, and He will always do that, because He's the waymaker. He's the miracle worker. He's the promise keeper. He's your light in the darkness. And He's calling together an orchestra. He's calling you. He's calling you to unite with Him and with God's people to do what could only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of us just by the lifted hand would say, I'm willing, count me in? Just by raising your hand and say, yeah, I want to be a part of that vision. I want to be a part of a God thing. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I just pray right now for each one of us. Lord, as we walk around to the different tables, ministries, wonderful ministries here at New Hope Central Waltham. This is so far beyond I guess I'll volunteer. No. God, You are building Your church spiritually and literally. You are building a building, and Your people will live in that building, and You will continue to call the nations to Yourself, call individuals to Yourself. So build Your church. We together say, let's build it together with You, God, in Jesus' name. All God's children said, amen, amen, hallelujah. All right.